Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue through the Gospel of Matthew as we continue through Pentecost, and we see the kingdom of heaven once again as a kingdom of compassion, although initially it doesn't seem like it's going to be. It kind of throws us a little bit of a curveball today with this interaction with the Canaanite woman. I want to set a little bit of background here before we get into the text, because it's important for us to understand where Jesus is coming from, so that when we see him interacting here, it makes maybe a little bit more sense. So if we're reading today in Matthew 15, starting at verse 21, we step back just a little bit, where Jesus is talking with some scribes and Pharisees from Jerusalem about the tradition of washing your hands before you eat, and how holding that tradition as sort of the be-all, end-all of traditions is an important thing for them, and why do his disciples not wash their hands before they eat? Because, well, that's going to cause problems. And so Jesus has to go into this whole thing teaching them it's not really about what you put in food-wise that's the problem. He said, because he even does a little biology lesson for them where he says you eat the food and it comes out the other end, basically, is what he says. So it's not the food that's the problem, he says. So what was the problem? The problem is that their heart was in the wrong place. And in fact, Jesus says, and out of the heart come all sorts of evils. So it's not about the food, it's about what's coming out of your heart. Because food just passes through, but the heart is there forever. And he says, that's the problem. And he's growing tired, I think, of this discussion, because he has to go back and forth with them about the importance of tradition versus the importance of where their heart is and who they are truly worshiping. And finally, he just says, I need a break from you. And it says in verse 21, and Jesus went away from there, wherever there was, where he was having this argument with the Pharisees and these self-righteous people. He got tired of that. And so he withdraws, it says. It's an interesting phrase that Matthew uses. Jesus and his disciples withdraw from that place. That's so much drama, so much hassle, so much struggle. And he says, I'm done with this for a bit. I need a break from you. And so he withdraws to a Gentile region, Tyre and Sidon, where maybe, just maybe, nobody knows who he is, and he can have some peace and quiet for just a little bit. That's maybe the hope. As Jesus withdraws from this discussion with these Pharisees and scribes about tradition versus what they eat and all of that stuff. And he says, I'm done. And so he withdraws. And they're walking through the region of Tyre and Sidon. I know, it's tough. I know, I'm sorry. Later. Yeah. So they're walking through this Gentile region. Again, with the hopes that maybe nobody knows who they are and they can just pass through unnoticed. They can just go about their day and maybe have a break. And as they're walking through, this woman comes up and starts crying out after them. And she's a Canaanite woman, which is important for us to understand, because the Canaanites, way back when, were supposed to have been wiped off the face of the earth. They weren't supposed to be around anymore, because that was the rule when the Jewish people went into the land of Canaan. They were to wipe everybody out and not leave anybody behind. And yet, here's a woman of Canaanite descent. So obviously they didn't do all that they were supposed to do. And so we have this woman, a Canaanite woman, old heritage, old ancestry here in this family. And she comes out, so he's in a Gentile region, has a Canaanite woman, so all of these things are strikes against Jesus doing anything for anybody in this place, right? This is not the place where he's supposed to be doing ministry. This is the place where he's getting a break from doing ministry. He's tired, and so here it is. This woman comes out, and she starts crying out after them. So the band is going, and she's kind of tagging along, crying out, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Have mercy on me. Kyrie eleison," what we say, "Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy." That's what she's crying out. "O Lord, Son of David." Well, wait a minute. Why would she call him that? She's of Canaanite descent in a Gentile region. She shouldn't know these words. And yet, she knows these words. She knows who Jesus is. So at some point in this woman's life, in this family's life, they have inched their way into the people of God. Being Canaanite, being in a Gentile region, again, strikes against them. But here she is. She knows who Jesus is. O Lord, Son of David. Even the Jewish words, the Israelite words of who Jesus is. And she knows them. She knows who he is. And she's crying out, her daughter is oppressed by a demon severely. Meaning that it's a long-standing case, and this is a rough thing, and she's at her wit's end. She doesn't know what else to do about it, and she goes to Jesus. "Have mercy on me. Save my daughter." Now, here's where it kind of takes a turn. Jesus doesn't answer her, not a single word. Now, that's not like Jesus, right? We know Jesus. It's not like him to not say anything. And yet, he's trying to get a break from all of the stuff. And yet, here is this woman. Maybe if I ignore her, she'll go away. Maybe she doesn't really know who I am. Maybe it's just the wrong time and the wrong place, and this is just going to pass over and be gone. And yet that's not what happens. She continues crying out after them so much so that the disciples are annoyed, which doesn't take much. And they say, "Jesus, send her away. Send her away." This is a phrase that's common among the disciples. I don't know if you've noticed that. Send her away. When Jesus is teaching on the mountainside and the people are hungry and he's about to feed the 5,000, what did the disciples say? But send them away. Send them away. The disciples are always trying to send people away from Jesus. The people are bringing children to see Jesus and the disciples are saying, "No, send them away. Send them away." That's not the disciples' job. And yet, it seems to be their common response when people are coming to ask things of Jesus, is to send them away. Send them away. But she continues crying and begging and wanting to get this help. She's crying out. And he says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." He's not lying. Right? That's the whole kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That was for the people of Israel. Jesus was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel for those who had gone astray or been led astray, those who no longer knew who God was. That's who Jesus was sent to. He wasn't supposed to be ministering to the Gentiles. That wasn't his goal. But here he is. So now he has ignored the woman, and now he has said, "I'm not here to help you. My job is to do other things. I'm not here to help you people. You Gentiles, you Canaanite descendants, even if you do know my name, I'm not here to help you." That doesn't sound like our Jesus. But that's what he's saying. So I'm not here to help you. I didn't come to minister among the Gentiles of Tyre and Sidon. I didn't come to minister to the Canaanite ancestors. That's not why I'm here. Now, for anybody else, that might turn them around. Maybe discouraged, disheartened. And we experience that sometimes. Well, maybe we don't, but others might. when they come to the church for help, and the church says, we're not here to help you. We're here to help others, but not you. We're not here to help you who don't quite fit the mold. We're not here to help you who don't measure up to our measurements. We're not here to help you, those who are sort of outside our boundaries. We're not here to help you, foreigners. We're not here to help you who don't fit. I'm sure some people have heard that from the church. It's a hard thing to hear. Jesus comes, kneels before him. Here's where it gets difficult. Because now she's been begging after the people, begging after the disciples, begging after Jesus. He's ignored her. He's put her off. He's told her he's not here to help. And yet she is persistent. She throws herself down in front of Jesus. If you're going to get him to stop, you got to get in front of him. She throws herself down in front of him and says, help me. It's a real simple prayer. Last week we heard Peter, save me, as he was drowning. Here, help me, is her prayer. Just help me. I'm not asking you to do all of the things for all of the people in all of the regions. Help me. I'm right in front of you. Help me. O Lord, Son of David, I know you can do something. Help me. Now we would think that would Jesus, with his compassionate heart, right? The kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of compassion. His insides go outside and all of that. We would think right then and there, Jesus' insides would go outside and he would, you know, jump at the chance to help this poor woman. And yet, a third time, he says to her, I'm not here to help you. I know it doesn't fit our gospel mind of Jesus, but here it is. He says, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. What? What a horrible thing to say. And yet, he's not wrong. He was here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Canaanite people didn't fit into this whole scheme of things. He wasn't here to help them. And so now she's asking him to do for her what he had come to do for the lost children of Israel. And he says, no, what I've come to do for them is for them. It's not for you. Wow. These are tough words. It's hard to hear. But Jesus then demonstrates that the kingdom of heaven is for all people. See, this whole exchange, this whole back and forth, this whole Jesus putting her off, it was intentional. It was meant that Jesus was being honest about what he was here to do, and yet this woman's faith, this woman's persistence, this woman's trust in who Jesus is, doesn't let all of these other words get in her way. And she says, help me. And then when he says, no, I'm here and I'm not giving you the bread that belongs to the dogs. And she says, well, wait. You're right. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'm not asking for the whole loaf of bread. I'm not asking for the special bread that's there for the children of Israel. I'm not asking for anything in particular. All I need is a crumb. And I'll take even the crumb that falls on the floor. Help me. All I need is a crumb. Because I know that a crumb can do amazing things in the kingdom of heaven. A tiny morsel, a little bite, just a taste is enough. It's enough in the kingdom. Now, Jesus rarely shows that he is taken off guard, but here in the Gospel of Matthew, he's taken off guard. He wasn't expecting this response. He's blown away at the faith and the way that this woman is able to articulate the fact that she is just there for her help. She just needs help, and all she needs is a little tiny crumb. And Jesus says, "Oh, woman, great is your faith." In fact, in other times when he's encountered people of being outside of the kingdom and they have expressed faith, that is where he's most blown away, is when the faith of the outsider exceeds that of the Pharisees he's just argued with back and forth. Their faith is nothing. Her faith is everything. Just a crumb is all she's asking. And he says, "Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Just a crumb? Just a crumb heals her daughter of being oppressed by a demon? Just a crumb satisfies the need for her help? Just a crumb is all we need. A lot of times we think we have to have everything. We have to have it all. We have to have all of the pieces in all of the places. And he says, no, just a crumb. Help me. All we need is a crumb. See, the kingdom of heaven, we can't even conceive of it, right? We've followed it through the Gospel of Matthew, all through Pentecost, and yet the kingdom of heaven, every time we look at it, does something amazing that we aren't expecting. And here, the kingdom of heaven shows that all you need is a crumb. All you need is faith of a mustard seed. All you need is just a little bit. And at the same time, the kingdom of heaven isn't just for the lost sheep of the house of Israel anymore. The kingdom of heaven is far greater, far wider, far more open to those outside, far more eager to help those who need help. And even for those of us inside the kingdom of heaven, the help is there. The help comes in the form of his word. The help comes in the form of the sacrament, that little, you know, it's just a wafer. And some people say, well, it's just a wafer. It doesn't taste like anything, doesn't look like anything, doesn't feel like... Well, you need more than that? Or is a crumb enough? Well, the wine doesn't really taste good, and it's kind of bland, and it's just a little bit. Do you need more? No. You don't. A crumb is all we need. And we receive that today from Jesus' hand, from the kingdom of heaven itself. Amen. Now may the peace that is ours in Christ guard our hearts and thoughts and keep it always in the one true faith to life everlasting. Amen.